But the work of the Spirit actually is fundamental when we're thinking about mission and evangelism. And if you're as old as me or older, probably one of the paradigms, one of the pictures of evangelism that will loom large in your mind is probably somebody like, if I was to say to you here, describe an evangelist and put a name to them, who would you say? Billy Graham, there you go, you see. If you ask young people that, they wouldn't say that at all. But we, for many of us, formed in our minds and imaginations is this kind of massive, and this is not a criticism of Billy Graham in any sense, a godly man who God used powerfully, no doubt about it. He was 99 the other day. Incredible old man. Made a phenomenal impact around the globe. However, that kind of paradigm that we work with, that picture that we work with, I would want to put to you this morning, is very unhelpful when it comes to us thinking about faith sharing, us sharing faith. Because when we think about Billy Graham, we think about his many competencies, his capacity to communicate with large crowds, his great influence, the way that he was able to condense the gospel message in such a way that it made a kind of huge impact on people's lives. I was always struck, you know, I was privileged to go and hear him, Mission England, remember, that's one of the very rare occasions I've permitted myself to go to Bristol City's football ground. Under normal circumstances, he'd never catch me there, because there's only one club in Bristol, but that's another story. It was just stunning, wasn't it, to see this simple message preached and the huge response. What kind of happened in the aftermath of that is another question, but we won't go into that this morning. But I want to say to you this morning, as we think about being equipped, because that's the title, the empowered life this morning, equipped for witnessing, I think we need to jettison that idea of what an evangelist is like. And let's just think about a few things this morning that might, I hope, help us as we focus upon this really important issue in the life of the church, how we share our faith, how we communicate Jesus to our friends and our neighbours and our work colleagues. So let's just read some words of Scripture here. Acts chapter 1, I think they will come up on the screen. A couple of verses. And you should know these off by heart because you've just finished a massive series through Acts. So I hope you should be very familiar with these words. And if you're not, that's fine. But we're going to hear them now. Then they, that's the apostles, gathered around him, Jesus, and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That was their hope and expectation. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Those few verses. There are quite a few things that Christians are frightened of, or they feel anxious about, at least. Probably if I was to ask you your top 10 senses of failure, you would probably put prayer maybe number one. I'm not very good at praying. Most people say that. Probably number two or number one would be sharing my faith. It's really difficult for us, and I think there are cultural reasons for it, to do with the kind of the way our culture is, that the culture is, the sort of skepticism that's at play, the kind of sense that people are unreceptive, but I think that's more of a sense than a reality. The fact is that we have great freedom to talk about our faith in this country. It frustrates me to the very life out of me when people talk about themselves as persecuted Christians in the UK. It's nonsense. We've got incredible liberty to talk about Jesus Christ. We just need to stop lifting up these lame excuses in a way. But perhaps it's just because of our kind of temperamental thing as English people. Stephen Fry once said that one of our overriding characteristics as English people is that we're embarrassed most of the time. I think that's true. You know, we don't like to, you know, we're all very reserved, aren't we? We get some friends who are coming amongst us here into church from South America, you know, some friends we've had from Colombia, and they're kind of right up, you know, they're with it. And they look at us and we're like stuffed shirts sometimes. And that, you know, you might take that as a criticism, but that comes from one of you. You know, we are, that temperamentally, we are a bit reserved. And we like to be polite to people and we don't want to upset people. And we want to mind our P's and Q's and make sure our tie's done up properly and our shoes are shiny and all those kind of things. So it's frightening. But the other interesting thing about you, and I did a piece of research on 99 of you. It was a random sample of research that I was doing for a piece of work that I'm writing up at the moment, about our priorities and practices as evangelists here at Thornbury Baptist Church. And part of my research has shown me this, that well over 80%, pushing 90% of the people that I surveyed, thought that sharing their faith with somebody else was a really important thing to do. And that's great, isn't it? Yes, it must be good. But another question came along is, I can't remember exactly, I wrote it, I should remember how. When was the last time you did it? Or do you regularly talk about Jesus to your friends, your neighbours, your colleagues, whoever it may be? And about 66% of people said they didn't. So there's a kind of, there's a tension going on here, there's a dissonance. These two things are not matching up very well, are they? And that's why I think people feel profoundly uncomfortable with it. And that's because in our heads, we have got some very unhelpful ideas. This is the first thing that Jesus said to these disciples is that he was commissioning them. And that's my first point. You will be my witnesses. Now, most of us, when we begin to think about evangelism and sharing our faith, we get ideas of angry preachers down in Broadmead and all of these kind of unhelpful things. I spent 3 months of my life knocking on doors in Walton-on-the-Naze once, believe it or not. It was a really interesting experience. And most people didn't open the door. Some people did open the door and were quite angry. Some people were deeply offended because we were giving these tracts out with Jesus with a t-shirt on. Other people, I remember, I think I've told you this before, this old chap opened the door and he said to me, "What's the shortest verse in the Bible?" What did he say? Who was the oldest man? He asked me, who was the oldest man and something else, and then he shut the door on me. That was it. You know, it felt like an entirely unsuccessful 3 months of my life. Me and Jenny did it together before we were married, didn't we? Knocking on the doors, and it was not an altogether pleasant experience. But look what Jesus is calling them to do here. He's calling them to be witnesses. And that word has got kind of connotations of being a witness in court. This is what I've seen, Governor. This is what I've seen and what I've experienced. Can you remember that occasion in the book of Acts when Peter and John were going along happily and they came to the Gate Beautiful by the temple and there was a bloke there begging, you know, he was asking for alms and he got legs, that old joke. And they prayed in the name of Jesus and he was healed. And they got hauled before the Sanhedrin and told to, you know, in certain, no uncertain terms, shut it. Stop it. Stop talking about this Jesus. And they said, "We can only say and talk about what we have seen and what we have heard." There was no kind of pre-packaged gospel message they were presenting to. They were saying, "Oh, hang on a minute, I've got my tract here. Now you need to confess this and repent of that and do this and do the okey-cokey and then come to blah, blah, blah." You know, and so often we feel kind of constrained by there are certain things we need to talk to people about. But here they're saying, "I want to tell you about what I've seen and what I've heard." And I think that means at least two things for us. The first of those is what we have seen and what we have heard through our encounter with God through the scriptures. So for many Christians, please don't take, I'm not criticizing anybody, I'm just trying to kind of flag certain things up here. The kind of poverty of faith that we experience is because we do not engage in one of the most basic kind of activities of Christian life, and that's engaging with God, with Christ, through the scriptures. It's often been said, and David Lawrence often says this, and I do agree with him on this point, that if you were to go up to a Christian in the first centuries of the church and say to them, "Tell me the gospel," they would have said, "Well, Luke or Mark, that's the gospel. It's the Jesus story." It's this big event that encapsulates everything that God has done, is doing, and will do in Jesus Christ, exemplified by this life, poured out for others, taken to the cross and risen again, and coming again. This is the gospel. It can't be, as soon as we condense it into a few kind of set of little salient facts, then we've lost it. We've limited it, and it becomes something other than the gospel. That's the first thing, to become immersed in Scripture. How do I do that? I read it. I memorize it. I learn it. The stories of Jesus are one of your greatest resources in terms of talking to other people about your faith. I was talking to somebody fairly recently about, and one of the wonderful stories, of course, that Jesus told was the story of the prodigal. And they were talking to me about what they thought God was like. And I said, well, I don't think God's like that at all. I heard a story once, and I kind of owned the story, the prodigal, and put it in my own words and tried to illuminate it. And he thought, that's amazing. This guy said, that's an amazing story. I said, well, that's a story that Jesus told to try and illustrate what God is like. He's the kind of God that welcomes people back, whatever they've done. He's the kind of God that puts up with other people that complain and moan all the time. He's the kind of God that provides a welcome for everybody. That's the kind of God that Jesus spoke about. And those stories become powerful tools. But we need to let them inhabit our being. They need to become part of our conversation and our dialogue with others. The second part is your own experience with God, your story. And again, it's not the kind of older, you know, let's come up here and tell me your testimony. What has God been doing in your life? What is God doing in your life? Have you got a tale to tell? Not I was converted in 1955, but what's God been doing in your life? How does Jesus make a difference to you? What is the good news in your life? And then we can begin to be witnesses. Let me tell you what I have seen and what God has done. Let me tell you what I've heard. I heard a story once about this guy who was walking down the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And he got beaten up. I had a conversation once. There's a folk musician called John Spires, who's brilliant. He's brilliant on the accordion. I quite like folk music. He's brilliant on the accordion, but he rants away on Twitter. He's quite anti-God. And I had a conversation with him on Twitter a little while back about the parable of the Good Samaritan, because he's a kind of quite a strong socialist, which is probably a good thing. And we're talking about doing good to neighbours. And I asked him, well, who is your neighbour? I said, let me tell you a story. Brilliant resource. So that's the first of witnesses. I need to move on very, very, very quickly. So that's a commission. We're commissioned to be witnesses. We don't have time, I don't think, for the video. Oh, let me show you. I want to show you a video clip that kind of sums up all of this blithering in a much more concise sense than me. I feel like these guys have become friends of mine. I think I may have shown you this clip before. These Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, who are based in Bradford, are amazing fellas, and they've got a real heart for faith sharing. So here they're kind of talking here about an experience, showing you how they go about sharing Jesus with other people. Can we just see this clip, Terry, please?
It's not easy to keep this out of your beard.
Many of their neighbours may be Muslim, but when the friars take trips into Bradford, they're happy to meet, greet, and talk to people of all faiths and none.
Everybody has the right to hear the gospel. Yeah, they're missing out if they don't hear about God's love for them.
This guy.
And it's not about forcing it on them or making it imposition, but it's really like, let me tell you what the Lord did and then they can decide.
Good.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. First, I thought you were Muslim preachers or something with long beards and stuff.
Oh, no.
See you later. Bye.
I've had the most amazing conversations with people that I never would have had if I was walking through the street dressed as like a normal person. People want to stop and say hello. We kind of let that be an open door. Who's the baby?
Salim.
Salim.
Yes.
Is that peace?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Salim, how are you?
How do you live? How do you survive? Do you receive any funding from the, or support from the government whatsoever?
None. People are very generous with us, and you don't want to take that for granted because it comes from God. Yeah. No, you're welcome, bro. Can we say a prayer for your family?
No problem.
Yeah, why don't we? So, Lord, we just ask you to bless this family, bless them, and keep them safe. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Help towards your cause.
Thank you very much. God bless you guys. Spreading the word is it's an experience of receiving a gift, not something that's being imposed on them. And they were free to say yes or no.
What time is it?
Oh my goodness. 10 to 5.
Who's cooking, do you know?
I don't.
It wasn't me, I hope.
Well, God bless Bradford. Probably late for prayer now.
So many beautiful things you can say about that, the ease of it. I think I suggest you get a habit. You might argue, well, it's easy for them. I don't think it is easy for them. But what I love about their approach is the ease with which they connect with people, the simplicity of praying for other people, jettisoning the embarrassment. People welcome your offer of prayer so often. And I want to encourage you, people are much more open and welcoming to the gospel, to the good news about Jesus, than you could imagine. Some people, yeah, they are resistant. That's fine, that's up to them. As Brother Gabriel said there, it's the experience and giving and receiving a gift. And let me tell you what the Lord has done. There's a context to which this commission was given, wasn't there? They gathered around him and asked him. They gathered around Jesus. And faith sharing, apart from being gathered around Jesus, being a disciple of Christ, listening to his word and following him, becomes a harsh, uncaring, absent of the heart of God kind of process. What's really interesting about the early church is that they didn't focus on evangelism. There's a scholar called Alan Crider. He's a Mennonite scholar, and he's a really interesting fellow. He's done lots of research into the first few hundred years of the early church up until the time that Constantine became emperor in Rome. And he, along with others, have estimated that the church during that period grew at about 40% a decade, which is phenomenal. Yet, there was very little public preaching, very little talk of evangelism, very little kind of outreach, all of these things. What they did do really well was gather together, worship, hear God's word, love one another, practice forgiving their enemies. They became so distinct as a community because they were gathered around Jesus that people were trying to join them. Can you imagine that? There's something so special that God is doing amongst you, that we are drawn to him by the quality of your community life together. Oh, that would be our experience more and more. I thank God for every evidence of his Spirit's work amongst us. But people are drawn to Jesus as they see his presence lived out amongst his people. How is that possible? What are the things at play amongst us to make that happen? Well, I want to suggest to you, again, very simple things about corporate worship, about loving one another, about spending time in Scripture, about learning to pray together. These simple things, John Wesley and others have called them the means of grace. We encounter God through these simple activities that Christians throughout the ages have engaged in. You know, chuck all these kind of newfangled ideas out the window. These simple means of grace that we can encounter God together in one another and as we gather together. So there's a context. But the catalyst, and this is really what I want to leave you with this morning, there's a catalyst at work here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Evangelism, faith sharing, is God's work. The Holy Spirit is the evangelist. He came to glorify Jesus, to make him known. So all we ever do, at best, is join him in what he is doing, seeking and saving the lost. We see, again, thinking back to our studies through Acts, think of those occasions. At the forefront of everything that was happening was the activity of the Holy Spirit. Think of Peter, Acts chapter 10, the Gentile Pentecost. If you remember that amazing story, Peter's kicking back on the roof there in Joppa on the coast, smelling a fish, no doubt, because it was a pretty smelly place, Joppa. And there he was having his afternoon nap, and suddenly he gets a threefold vision from heaven. Then when he's had a threefold vision from heaven, there's somebody knocking on the door, telling him to come and up the road and speak to Cornelius. And God had already been doing his work in Cornelius. And when Peter starts preaching to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit falls upon this gathering, and they're all filled with the Spirit, and God demonstrates that he accepts Gentiles into his family. But the key point is that at every juncture, it's the Spirit's work. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. God is at work in your friends and in your neighbours and in your workplace and wherever you are. And it's about us saying, Lord, open my eyes, open my ears that I might hear you and see you and join you in what you're doing. And I want to say to you, my friends, when we get a handle on those sort of things, it takes the pressure off and puts us in the right place to engage profoundly in the wonderful, wonderful process of sharing Jesus Christ with our friends and our neighbours. Amen.